Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the expansion of consciousness, the evolution of our spirit. And there's nothing that brings that out more than the festivals my next guest has presented and the way of life that he's lived and the mission he stands for as a visionary and someone bringing back the idea of spiritual connection. His name is Sridhar Silberfine, and he is the founder and creator of Bhakti Fest, probably one of the most spectacular kirtan festivals in the U.S. and around the world. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. You know, I always wondered how it would feel to jump out of a shower and come right into an interview. It's fantastic. I love it. We should do it more often.
Let's do it anytime you're over my place. I happen to be in California right now in Yucca Valley and the home of Bhakti Fest.
It's Joshua Tree, California.
Joshua Tree, California. And we'll be talking about what that festival is about. But it's coming up September 6th to the 11th, 2017 at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center. You can get tickets where?
On our website.
BhaktiFest.com. An incredible lineup of speakers. We'll be going over that, but okay, we've talked before, but why did you, it's a lot of work putting on a festival of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people with the top singers of Indian kirtan music. Why are you doing this?
Well, you know, I had the inspiration. I think I might have told you the story. In 1969, when I was hanging out with Artie Kornfeld and Mike Lang, who put on the Woodstock Festival. I was socializing with them, and one night they asked me, what do you think is missing from the Woodstock Festival? And I said, well, you have all these great singers and two big, great bands and stuff. And I said, but you're missing the spiritual element. And they said, what do you mean? I said, we got to bring a Swami here, and we'll do the invocation. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, you produce that. I didn't know talking about it for production. Mm-hmm. I went back. I asked Swami Satchidananda, who happened to be my guru, my Hatha Yoga guru teacher.
Right.
And then he said, yeah, I'll come. And so we flew him in by helicopter, and you actually see all this in the movie, the director's cut, him flying in.
In the Woodstock
movie.
Were you at Woodstock?
That's what I'm talking about.
You were at Woodstock.
I'm telling you the story of Woodstock.
Okay, you're at Woodstock.
And I flew him in. They flew him in, and he gets off the plane, and we're in back to the stage, and we bring him on the stage. You see this in the movie, Artie Kornfeld, me walking on the stage. Mm. And at that moment, I realized that there was nobody to introduce him. And Richie Havens was strumming up and getting ready to go on. And I said, oh, Richie, you mind introducing me to Kornfeld? He said, get the fuck out of here. It was his first time he ever went on. So anyway, Swamiji looks at this crowd, and I said, someday, we're going to have all these people chanting the divine names. And Swami said, fantastic, I hope so, Sridhar. And 40 years later, the Bhakti Fest appeared.
I didn't
really want to do it because I was already finished my careers and different things that I established. You know, I started the first Machu Picchu in Southern California.
Speaking to the mic, they say the director here. Okay. So you started your health food store, but you had a vision back at the time of Woodstock.
Yeah, exactly. So it came fairly easy for me, even though the festival business is very stressful and difficult. However, it's a platform for us to build spiritual community, and that's what it's all about during these difficult times.
Now keep going.
These difficult, trying times, you know. Is that my alien pickup?
That's a different festival. Sorry. No. So
building spiritual community, that's why people come. They really love coming to be with us and family stuff. And we're all families. We have loads of families that bring their kids because we have no alcohol. Mm-hmm. And we're all vegetarian festival. It's very unique. Nobody like this is doing this.
But this ties in with the rise of kirtan in India and chanting music.
Yeah.
Talk about, because you were in, I mean, no one knew about kirtan, which is an Indian chant. Talk about the rise of that popularity in people like Krishna Das, because that came out of nowhere. It didn't come from rock and roll.
Well, you know, we started our Center for Spiritual Studies, our nonprofit foundation, in 1973. And what the bylaws are to establish kirtan and establish seminars and yoga all over the world. And so it's our bylaws from back in 73. So we've been in and out of that. We've produced many events for Ramdas.
Right.
And, you know, we hosted Amaji for like 17 years and Muktananda in the 70s. So all the great beings from India and from other places came to our place. We hosted Yogi Bhajan when he first came to America in Los Angeles. Right?
So where did kirtan music arise? I mean,
it developed from that aspect, because all the swamis and all the gurus, they always have a music componentry to it, which is Indian chanting, Indian kirtan, mostly Sanskrit. But,
you know. So how would you define kirtan? Is it chanting of holy mantras?
Yeah, holy names, divine names, different godly names, according to Hinduism. It's the same kind of chanting that you might find in a mosque or in a synagogue or in a Christian church. Because they're all singing and they're doing their mantras.
Well, I guess the big thing everyone knows is Hare Krishna.
Yeah, of course, because that became the most famous mantra in the world, so to speak, and one of the most powerful.
Right.
Exactly. And there was Bhaktivedanta Swami that introduced that in the 60s in Tompkins Square in New York.
Tompkins Square Park, right around the corner where I live, actually.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that became popular back then, and then... but it's just recent, like Krishna Das has a huge following because he chants.
Correct. He has a huge following, and he's really devoted to his guru, Nim Karoli Baba, same guru that Ram Das has, Bhagavan Das Jayutal, that first-tier people.
Right.
And you know, Ram Das, when he came back from India in the late 60s, he brought Nim Karoli Baba to America by virtue of talking about him all the time.
So in a way, Bhakti Fest is an outgrowth of Woodstock and Ram Das.
Right.
And of course, you have Ram Das on video.
Yeah, well, you know, every year I've been going out there in April and I sit down with him like we're sitting down. And we really get into deep spiritual contemporary subjects that really matter in today's day and age.
But we'll get to a clip from your interview with Bhakti. But Ram Das, but it's grown. There's like, of course, there's a need for spirituality in America, and there's a craving for it. So your audience has grown.
Yeah, and you know something? Yoga is a very big industry and a big business now.
Right.
And when I started one of the first yoga studios in California in 1971, there was no yoga. Nobody knew what yoga was. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we did kirtan in the second story of my second floor of my health food store, one time we had a bomb threat. They didn't want to hear these chanting out of the windows, you know? It was very interesting. Anyhow.
No, but the thing about chanting and kirtan and these Sanskrit words, it's different than singing. Explain, we're not just singing.
You're focusing on a deeper plane in a meditative state. That's what you want to get to. You want to, you know, people take yoga all the time, and it's a big thing in America and around the world. And everybody sees how their bodies take a change. They change their diet. They start asking what more is there. Then they start meditating. And then they start reading about the philosophy. And then they merge into the kirtan, into the chanting, because it's a natural progression.
So, okay. So people, what a Bhakti Fest, because it's a chanting in the year. But let's talk about it. Someone arrives at Bhakti Fest.
Right.
They buy their ticket. They're there at Joshua Tree. What do they expect there?
Okay, well, first of all, you have to figure out where you're going to stay. So you can either stay on site. We have 300 beds in different room capacities, beautiful with sheets and pillows, air conditioning stuff. Then we have around 15 RVs that are available for people. Then we have around 4,000 or 5,000 people available to camp in the beautiful desert in their own tents with their cars parked right next to them. We have 2 3,000-gallon unlimited water sources that we've...
You need that, because we're in the middle of the desert out here.
So people are able to drink all the time. And we have like around 10 or 12 food vendors, all vegetarian, some vegan, some not, and doses and some fantastic food and drinks and fresh juices and watermelons. You know, a lot of that. Then we have 3 yoga classes a day from 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night.
Great.
Or every 2 hours. So it's like 36 classes a day. I mean, nobody can do that.
So you pay one ticket, you get everything.
2 stages for kirtan. One that goes almost 24 hours.
It's a huge stage, too. It's like,
you
what?
5,000 people.
5,000 people
there.
Sit there,
yeah. And then surrounding that are vendors and people that are, you know, selling curated stuff that we don't just let anybody come in and sell.
Right. And you have some of the biggest acts in this field.
We have top yoga teachers in the world. We have the top chanters, sacred music, kirtan, whatever word you're comfortable with. And our seminars and our workshops are fantastic.
Well, just to name a few of the people who will be there this year, and some of the top in the world is Krishna Das, Jayutal, MC Yogi. Who else is going to be there? Deva, you got Deva Parmal this year?
No, but David Newman is going to be there. Gurish. Govindisanarada.
And on the yoga front, there's Shiva Ray, probably one of the top teachers in
and
the world.
And Sean Korn is coming. She just approved today. And she's coming. She's very big. And she saw David Ray and Sienna Sherman and Janet Stone. It's Mark Whitwell. It's fantastic lineups. And we have a lot of up-and-coming yoga teachers also who we like to curate.
Oh, I have somebody for you.
We have.
No, I do.
And then, of course, we show our Ram Dass interview that I do every year.
Every year you travel to Maui to get Ram Dass.
To sit with him for a couple of hours. We have three cameras rolling, and they're all up on YouTube. Radhana Swami.
Talk about Radhana Swami.
Radhana Swami is an angel. He is so fantastic. He comes from the Hare Krishna lineage.
He's a Jewish guy from Chicago.
That's right. And he went over there in the early 70s and had his life transformation and, you know, accepted his guru and started wearing robes, wrote two fantastic books. Mm-hmm. And he's gone through a lot, and he's really just so sweet and so honest and full of integrity. I love this guy. He's fantastic.
But he also feeds, 500,000 people around the world every day?
Yeah, well, mostly a couple of 100,000 out of Bombay. They have the ISKCON movement. He's part of
it. It's incredible. Yeah. So,
and we have Prem Baba coming this year. Now,
who's
Prem
that?
Baba is a recent sensation coming out of Brazil. He's a therapist. And a lot of people like him. He sets up in Rishikesh every year. There's a couple of thousand people that hang out with him.
Great.
He chose Bhakti Fest to be his first festival.
But the other great thing about Bhakti Fest is what we call the bhav.
Right.
The feeling. Yes. The beautiful feeling that happens among the people because you're bathed in this music.
Yes. And your yoga and the seminars. Everybody's in this. Uh-huh. So, you know, you feel it as soon as you get in there. When there's no alcohol and there's no really heavy-duty meat eating and stuff like that, you're in a safe environment. You don't have to look over your shoulder. So you're free and you feel a lot of love and compassion. And that's what we strive for, you know, to expand on this love and this feeling that we have for each other. Because people don't want to leave come Monday morning. You know, we have to kick them out. Because I say to them, take all this energy and this love that you're feeling over the weekend and take it out and into your regular world and help people out, do things.
Right. So there's no drugs, no alcohol. You totally discourage any of that.
No, I don't discourage anything. Whatever you want to do, but you can do it. I have 425 acres there.
Okay.
Just don't do it around the main area.
No, but I think it's the feeling that people get from this thing. Maybe we could play a little bit of the music. This is what are we going to hear here?
We're going to hear Govindisanarada. They have a big studio in Santa Monica called Bhakti Yoga Shala. Mm-hmm. They really hold down the kirtan energy on the West Coast. Fantastic couple. I love them. I've known them since they were very young.
Right. So they're playing at the 2006. Will they be back in 2017?
They're always with us every festival we do all over the world.
All right. Let's see how this sounds here.
I'm not going to be able to do that.
Beautiful. That is great. Yeah,
it's beautiful. And just the visual of this is fantastic. It's up on the Bhakti YouTube channel.
Yeah, if you go to Bhakti Fest on YouTube, you'll see these beautiful performances.
Yeah, and the interviews, all my interviews with Ramdas are on there as well.
Right. Well, play some of your interviews with Ramdas because...
So this, I just was wanting to reflect on this for a moment because they're backup people. Mm-hmm. We curate a lot of these. Now, this girl, for example, Sita Devi, she was their backup person all these years. And this year at Shakti Fest, mm-hmm. we do two festivals a year, one called Shakti mm-hmm. Fest and the other called Bhakti.
Actually, what's the difference between Shakti and Bhakti?
Well, the Shakti is dedicated to the divine feminine. Uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. Let's have a festival for the goddesses, right? So
yeah.
we can worship them and bow down and kiss their feet.
That's the idea.
Without them, we're nothing.
So you do this twice a year, one Shakti.
And Mother's Day weekend in May, mm-hmm. and then first or second weekend in September.
So this was, if people go to Bhakti Fest on YouTube.
Also.
Yeah, and bhaktifest.com, you can see some of those downloads.
Well, you see who's coming in September. Everybody's listed there. With their bios and descriptions of their classes. And mm-hmm. it's a very informative website. And you can subscribe and get our weekly newsletter so you can find out what we're doing.
So definitely come this September 6th to the 11th. Go to bhaktifest.com. You'll be in bliss for 4 days, listening to music, doing yoga, hearing the best speakers in the world there.
Actually, it's life-changing, Alan. It's been life-changing for us as the production team. It's life-changing for people that are coming. It's life-changing for the vendors because they don't go to places like this. And who gets it the most of everybody is our stars, is our teachers, because this is the only festival they get a chance to hang out with each other.
Right.
Otherwise, they're all in different areas and they never see each other.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think makes a good kirtan singer? Why does someone like Krishnadas rise to the top? What does he have? I mean, you're an expert.
Well, I don't want to be an expert
well,
in
you've
anything.
You've been around it, though.
He's got the love, the deepening love spirit inside.
Mm.
And that comes out. And that's the bottom line for all of us, but we're very clouded.
Mm.
All of us go through our ups and downs every single day, depending on our environment and what's happening in the world. We identify with everything, and it's just that we have to keep coming back to that love.
You know, I think some of these people, you know, they all have personalities, but when they're chanting, when they're singing, there's something that transcends the person, and that's the divine. That's it.
And that's what comes through a practice. It's very important to maintain a daily practice, like meditation and yoga. Nice to listen to this kind of music during the day and read spiritual philosophy books.
Right, because it'll just uplift your vibration.
Right. You know, we're so used to being out in the universe and it's ripping us apart, especially now. Living in America is very, very difficult.
Talk about that.
It's very extreme. There's so many things going on, which means we have to come back to this community, to the spiritual community, no matter how many times we run away from it because we have a fear of letting the ego go. And diving into your spirituality, you do have to work on your ego. And
right.
that's really a tough thing. But just say, okay, all right, I know I have to work on this now. Just do it. Don't waste time because life is very, very short. It goes very quick.
So when you say work on your ego, what do you mean?
When things come up, let's say another boulder or another little elf pops up and says, "Here I am again." How are you going to respond? How are you going to react?
Like if you're stuck in a pattern or something, like in relationships.
And we react the same way all the time, anger, arguments, yelling and stuff.
Right.
But maybe we try loving each other and saying I'm sorry or asking for forgiveness.
That's a big one. And giving forgiveness, that's even bigger than to really forgive someone for whatever they have done.
You know, we had a mutual friend, Howard Wills, and
he
had some beautiful things to say about forgiveness, about asking for forgiveness and the forgiveness prayers, like, I forgive you for anything you've done to me in my life, through your words, deeds, and actions, but please forgive me for anything I did to you. because it's a two-way street.
It's like Yom Kippur all over again.
Every day. But it's, we don't have an exclusive, I hurt you, you hurt me, right. I hurt you, you hurt, and then this spreads out into the universe.
And, when we do something intentionally, unintentionally, and we feel bad, but we have to also forgive ourselves, that's big. I'm working through that,
We all are.
Why did I do that? Why did I
act like that again?
Yeah, right.
And you know this, but, you still have little ebbs and flows of karma to work out.
I know, and
this karma is a very tricky thing if people don't understand what
I don't understand it.
Pretty much, I don't understand it either, but I know I go through it.
Right.
It just has a label on it. But karma, all the bad things, so to speak, bad things that we do in this lifetime, as opposed to doing good, they keep coming back to us to remind us, hey, we can't do this anymore.
That's right. We
have to forgive this past. We all grew up in pretty much dysfunctional. Families and relationships.
What do they know about
relationships? Right? They just stayed together because in their 30s and 20s and all the East Coast families, all of them had to stay together.
There was
no divorce.
They put up
and
they
hated each other. They yelled at each other.
Violence out of each other.
Yeah, and that's how children grew up.
And we're a product of that.
Exactly. But you see that in how we treat other people.
Exactly.
I saw that in my relationships with the women that I was married to, because I saw the pattern of my father and mother.
And you were playing it out.
And then I realized it, and then I said, this is not good. You can't do this anymore.
That's nice. Yeah. That's what we learn.
I'm saying, life is short, make it sweet. It goes very quick. And if you're wasting your time on your bullshit, you're just going to be coming around time and time again.
So embarrassing when you see those patterns. I just had an incident. It's like, oh, my God. God, did I do that?
Right. And that was my brother.
No, it's me. I'm willing to take responsibility for my selfishness, my indulgence. And it's like,
absolutely.
I can't blame anyone else.
We have to own our stuff. We have to own our shadow.
And it's humbling.
Yeah,
it's humbling.
Especially when you're not doing it to be humble. You're just doing it and you actually want to feel forgiveness for each other.
Yeah.
You really want to ask for forgiveness. It's very hard to say, I screwed up, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'll try not to let it happen again.
That's all we can do.
You can only try, but you can try harder and harder as you get older and older.
Well, we go unconscious, and the idea is to be conscious. Oh, did I infringe on your space? Oh, my God, why would I do that? I went unconscious. So, we're here to be conscious. And, one of the people who brought this whole understanding, merging psychology with spirituality, is your guy.
My guy, he's a lot of people's guy, but I've been friends with him for 47 years. We've been really close since 1970.
You're talking about Ram Dass, Richard Alpert.
Yeah, and he is just the most wonderful being that I've been close with over the years. And every year, as I said, we do go out there and we do talk to each other and we sit in this beautiful environment and we shoot the cameras and we roll and we spend an hour or two together. Mm. We laugh, we cry, we really get into the emotions.
And he's not that well. He's
86 and he's been in a wheelchair for over 20 years.
Wow.
And when you're in that wheelchair for that long, you lose some of the...
But his spirit is
fantastic.
So
fantastic.
Absolutely. And he, in a sense, is the godfather of...
spirituality. Western spirituality.
Yeah, he brought it to the U.S.
Yes, he brought Eastern spirituality to the West.
And it wasn't like TM, which was one of the early ones with the Beatles.
Right. This was more open to all kind of teachings.
It was open, and because he was a Harvard psychologist,
he was able to put it together in a very mental kind of way.
But he also combined the emotional with the spiritual.
Right.
He realized what you're saying here about karma, that we have to work on ourselves. That's the path to awakening.
Exactly.
And it's not about worshiping someone, it's getting clear in ourselves. So,
well, worshiping yourself first.
Right.
Honoring yourself first, bowing down to yourself first, and then you can go out and do the same thing with everybody you meet, which is very hard.
And what's so amazing about Ram Dass, even before his stroke, he's an incredible communicator.
Yes.
He knows how to tell a story.
Oh,
you listen to him, right?
He has all that story, He grew up in the 60s and 50s, 60s, 70s, and, that's when everything was happening.
And, of course, the Timothy Leary years where he had a real awakening. the thing that he did that Leary didn't do was move that awakening of LSD into spirituality.
So, you know, people ask me, what's my association with mind-altering substances? Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, a mushroom trip in the right set and settings. That's mm-hmm. a very important, that term was created many years ago. Mm-hmm. Set and setting means be in a safe environment, mm-hmm. like your home with loved ones. Mm-hmm. And then it's okay to be able to experiment mm-hmm. with some mushroom or some cleanup. Clean out the cobwebs.
But, you know, I do think we're moving to a new time where we're accessing those spiritual dimensions just by downloading them.
Yes, absolutely. And that's where we can get to. But sometimes when that happens, we get a little confused mm-hmm. and we get a little insecure. So it scares us. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we back away from it.
Well, I think what I'm trying to promote in my thing in new realities is that we're coming into a new time and that we encourage people not to be scared of those downloads. And
yeah, so that, you know, the darkest times, when we're going through the darkest times, which it seems to be mm-hmm. currently what's happening right. around, because every day we're reading this thing and that thing. And the government can't be perpetrating this stuff.
It's shocking, isn't it?
It's really amazing. You know, so the darkest times, the light is going to be there and is there. We just have to pull open the curtains. Mm-hmm.
So let's play a little clip from this interview you did for Bhakti Fest with Ram Dass in 2016. This is you on camera talking to Ram Dass, and let's hear what he has to say.
How can we be more at peace with ourselves? Go deep within the self to the soul. Because within people is love and peace. You can find peace inside you, and then the outside is a movie. It's two levels of perception. You watch the movie.
No. It's interesting about him because his words are slow, but you know his mind is still there, and he's still so in touch with
our potential
spiritual dimension.
Yeah, absolutely, it's fantastic. He is very deep. It's interesting because I've been doing this since 2009 with him every year, so his speech is getting a little bad and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but. You know, we did one in 2014. We had over 50,000 viewers on YouTube.
Yeah,
it was 2 hours long. It was really fantastic.
Let's look at some of that. But, you know, here he is in 2014.
I use a very direct thing. I started the ego and go to the soul. And the soul, this... In this plane of consciousness, this is called loving awareness. Loving awareness. So you start here. Say, I am loving awareness. 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 I am. I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. And you work until you are, your consciousness is in that next plane of consciousness.
You're using this as a tool, like japa, like a mantra?
Yeah. To get you out of the ego.
Okay.
Most people are in their ego. Their ego are their roles.
Who they are.
Yeah. And then the soul has other experiences in past lives and so on. And then it goes down here, and then you stop, I am, down here, just loving awareness, loving awareness, loving awareness.
So you actually stop the saying I am because you're sitting in the awareness itself.
You can tell he is going deep, and he's such a deep feeling person. There's not even the words to describe the spiritual sensations he's having.
He's one of the deepest Western philosophers, and unfortunately, his time is moving as far as having to do too much talking and stuff like that. You see, he's taking his time and it's a little slow, but you know, he's doing so great. I'm so happy, and I look forward to seeing him every year.
Every year you go to Maui and talk to him?
Yeah, for the 9 years already.
Great.
So we just finished our ninth year.
Bhakti Fest has been going on for 9 years.
Yeah, we've done around 23 festivals. This is our ninth year. Next year we celebrate our 10-year anniversary.
Let's do a big 10-year celebration.
Yeah, but this year, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this peace time.
Yeah, talk about that. I think that's
peace time is a new concept that we've developing with our partner, Philippe Galland. And what we're doing is we're building a new stage, 14,000 square feet, shaded, so that we're going to have 500 people at a time for meditation and for yoga. Nobody's had that kind of a big yoga class before. But Sean Korn and Sol, David Ray, and Shiva Ray, they can command those big numbers. You know? So, and then we have invited a lot of great meditation teachers to come and teach meditation this year. Right. And we want to merge the meditation with peace and spread this peace time all over the world. That's a new company that we're curating with Philippe, as I said.
Yeah, what do you mean by peace time?
Peace time meaning we're going to bring meditation more to the general public so that they can feel peace more often and during these difficult times all over the world.
So this is a whole company dedicated to peace that you're
that's
partnering?
It. And then we're going to be streaming these meditations. Deepak Chopra will come,
Sharon
Salzberg. We invited Robert Thurman. We invited a whole bunch of people to come and to teach meditation and sit with people. Some Tina Turner we invited.
Really?
Yeah, Forest Whitaker.
Is she they're coming. They might be
coming.
We'll
find, sure.
So it's as if, like, from Bhakti, the Bhakti Fest, is peace will emanate out.
Correct.
Around the planet.
Right. And we'll start moving, you know, we'll bring peace and more meditation to the prisons. And we have a project going to old age homes that we're starting very quickly now.
Wow.
In Santa Monica, we're going to start. And we're going to go there and we're going to sit with the people in the old age home for like a little hour and bring them some chocolates or flowers or something. And then, you know, hear them out and put them through a little meditation and quiet them. You know, they're so lonely, you know.
Yeah.
And they're so unhappy. Nobody ever visits them. Mm-hmm. In our culture, you know, our parents raise us and then we stick them away in old age homes.
Right.
But when you go to Europe or India, the parents raise the kids and then the kids raise the parents.
Right.
Right. And that's a whole bunch of different. I like that way.
Actually, you take a lot of trips to India. You've been there, what, 100 times? Really? You've
been over 55, 60 times.
It's incredible. What do you love?
I go every year.
I had a hard time in India.
I know,
to admit.
Most people do. And I don't like getting sick, but I still do. But that's part of the letting go and freeing yourself.
Do you feel it's something special?
Very
is, what is it about?
Very powerful hanging out with these great old swamis and gurus and being at their ashrams, even when they're not alive anymore. They leave a certain power, a certain essence.
It's true.
And you go into these temples high up in the Himalayas. Very powerful stuff going on.
No, I know. I went to visit Shirdi Babas. I went to Shirdi.
Right.
And I went to the Samadhi site and he actually talked to me. He's like, it's a voice in my head, like beaming right out of the Samadhi.
Well, I unfortunately waited on a regular general public line.
And
you go from one room and you think, oh my God, this line is not short. But it's like eight rooms more to you.
Insurity?
Yeah, till you get to the final thing. Then I found out that you can just give the guy 100 rupees and walk in the back door.
But, you know, you go all over India, and it's so diverse.
I take a lot of groups with me every year. Mm. I've been doing that for over 20 years. And I just take them and show them a different way of life. You know, we get access to all the ashrams and things like that, great accommodations. We eat good food. Mm-hmm. We travel.
So you've transformed a guy from the hood on Long Beach? Was it Long Beach?
Well, I grew up in Long Beach. It wasn't such a hood. It was the 3 mile island and a half mile wide off of Long Beach.
But, it was tough. Your father was tough on you. Yeah. You had to
the same thing. I started working at 12 years old, delivering newspapers on my bicycle in the wintertime. And I must say that I did walk to school in the snow.
You tell your kids that, right?
I do, and I actually did do that. Sometimes I got a ride if I was lucky. That's what the 40s were all about. And, and I had to wear galoshes because my mother wouldn't let me out of the house with galoshes. I don't know if you know what they are.
I know, no
idea. Take these rubber slip-ons and you put them over your shoes or your sneakers. And then when you get to school, you have to take off these galoshes. Otherwise, your sneakers or shoes would be soaking wet by the time you get to school. So I had to wear them all the time, and then you take them off. It's a little embarrassing.
But, there's a question I never asked you. How did you discover spirituality? How did you do
that? Yeah, so that came at a very early age. It was like I was just graduating. I had always had an attunement and infinity with spiritual traveling. I've read a lot about the Greek era and the Roman era. So I've been a big history buff all my life. Alexander the Great was one of my big guys. I really loved him.
He conquered the world, right?
Yeah, that's all.
That's why you admired him. Yeah. Well, you've
conquered the world. At an early age, I said to myself, I just want to hang out with people that know more than me. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Why not? And I was reading a lot. And then I took my first LSD trip in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. And that really pushed me over. I didn't even know anything. I was still in college. Mm-hmm. So I graduated college, and my aunt saw that I didn't know what I was doing. So she said, why don't you go see, my son is studying with a guy down in the east side. His name is Rudy.
Oh, Rudy. Were you with the early Rudy people?
I went and walked in 1962 when I graduated college. I walked into his class. He told me to sit down. And as soon as I walked in, I saw this big picture of a naked guru from India. He just had a little loincloth off, but it was like 15 feet high. It was Bhagawan Nityananda, Muktananda's guru.
Right.
And he was the only, Rudy was the only Western disciple of Bhagawan Nityananda, one of the greatest beings ever to be in India. And I saw this picture and I went, wow. I felt something happen to me. I didn't know what it meant and what it was. And later on, I realized it was my transformation and my...
It was a Shakti coming right to you.
Right to me. But of course, you don't know what that is. Uh-huh. But it's a glimpse of enlightenment, even for like a second.
Wow. And you had that at that moment.
Yeah.
That woke you up.
And then I didn't know what anything was. So then in 1964... I was in California and I was like smuggler of marijuana.
You were smuggling marijuana?
Yeah, from Mexico. And then I decided just to quit that and go to Europe. So I took my friend and we took like $8,000, which is a lot of money
it was.
1964, and traveling around Europe and luxurying it out. And I wound up in Spain in prison. I was arrested for bringing marijuana from Morocco to Spain. And that started a very difficult time in my life where I was in solitary confinement with these really terrible bugs all over my body. And I was scratching myself raw. And at that very moment, I said, my name was Stephen at that time. Mm-hmm. I said to myself, you're going to scratch yourself to death and you're going to be bleeding out, right? Or you just stop all this and go inside. Remember that time 2 years ago that something happened to you? You go right back into that inner connection of meditation. And that's how I made it through prison. And I came to New York and I started my life in New York. And then I started studying with Rudy full time.
That's a great story. Well, I didn't know that about you. I mean, I've known you for a long time.
I was living in New York from 65 to 70 when I moved back to California.
Right. You know, have you been to Big Indian, the old Rudy place?
Yeah, I found that. I was in the real estate business And I found that ashram for Rudy, negotiated the deal.
There's a huge statue of Rudy there. Yeah. Have you been up and saw this? And Nityananda, there's a life-size statue of
Nityananda. Well, there's only seven of those Murtis, the Nityananda Murtis that are alive in the world. And then they broke the cast because they didn't want anyone to have it. One of them was there.
That's a presence. You sit in front of that statue.
Huge.
And Rudy's there too. He's
Rudy was a very powerful character. Yeah, he was living in the world, but he had a very
he had a carpet store, right?
No, he had an Oriental antique store. Right. They had carpets there. Yeah.
Even what's his name started with Rudy, who's Adida.
That's right.
That was
a couple of the Swamis that came out of Rudy, and Rudy was a wonderful guy. Unfortunately, you know, his karma caught up with him.
Right.
He died in a plane crash, and everybody else walked up away. And he died.
But he opened a lot of minds.
A lot of people, and he was very loving and kind. And I only have a good...
That was your beginning.
Yeah, and then in 1969, Rudy sponsored Muktananda coming. And Muktananda came to America Labor Day weekend 1970 in Big Indian.
Up there. That up land there. Is still there. They're renovating
Correct.
It.
Correct. And that weekend, Hilda Charlton was there.
Uh-huh. Hilda had a huge... The Hilda was responsible for a lot of awakening
absolutely.
Of New York.
Ramdas was there.
Uh-huh.
Swami Venkateshananda from the Divine Life Society.
Everybody was up at Big Indian.
And that weekend to greet and meet Muktananda.
Uh-huh.
And I was there because I was a student of Rudy.
And so you met Muktananda, and that...
And then that was my life-changing, another life-changing experience for me, because he turned around to Ram Dass and me and said, you lead my tour across the country.
He said that to you.
And Ram Dass. He said, you two guys, and I looked at Ram Dass, I didn't know who Ram Dass was, and he certainly didn't know who Sridhar was, right? So, and then we traveled across country, we wound up in California, I stayed.
And Muktananda became your main teacher.
He was my teacher from 1970, my guru, from 1970 to 1982 when he died.
Uh-huh. That was changing your life. That
12 years.
He taught you a lot.
Absolutely. He taught me discipline. He taught me letting go, because he walked around in his ashram in India. He walked around with a stick.
Uh-huh. Because he would hit people.
He would definitely hit people. And you needed it. And if you got hit by Muktananda, you just fold your arms and say, thank you very much. Because you got it.
He's waking you up.
You got it right then and there.
But did he give you the name Sridhar?
No, it was Swami Satchidananda.
He gave you Sridhar. Yeah. Uh-huh.
1968 in Europe.
I see. And then, but Muktananda had, talk about the power he had,
you walk into a room that Muktananda was, you have instant meditation like that. Because the room would be full light, you know, and then when he transmitted Shaktipad, it goes up your spine to the top of your head, and then you see lights and you hear the celestial
that happened to you
all the time with him.
Wow! Yeah.
But remember, these are just glimpses.
Yeah.
How are you going to take that back into the world?
Right. How do you take that back into the
world?
Well,
I wish I had more of them now.
But we have to find that ourselves.
That's
right?
Exactly right. But you know, that's the work. The work is the discipline every single day.
You know, I was at someone's place who was meditating, and there were pictures on the wall of Muktananda, and I was looking at the pictures, and the pictures started to animate. The expressions, I looked again, these pictures were changing.
Yeah.
He's still photos.
He was responsible for me moving out of Topanga 32 years in the same place and moving down.
What do you mean he was responsible?
Because when we invited Swami Kaleshwar.
My good friend Swami Kaleshwar.
Right, in the early 2000s.
Yes.
We had a beautiful fire ceremony.
Yes.
And you were there and you filmed it.
I know, it's great.
It's up on YouTube.
It's called the Fire Puja Swami Kaleshwar. It's also now on the Bhakti Fest site.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, it was a great weekend. We had a lot of wonderful people.
He was a magical little
He was so fantastic, you know. 250 people were there for the weekend, and people would be laying out all over the
place.
And
that was a beautiful place. That place was Tanash. Amma stayed at your place in Topanga.
Amma stayed there for 17 years.
Amma the Hugging Saint.
Muktananda stayed there in 5 days in 1975. Everybody stayed
there. I stayed there, but that became a holy place.
And then when Kaleshwar said to me, you have to leave because of the Vastu, I said, what? He said, the Vastu. V-A-A-S-T-U. It's the Indian analog to Feng Shui. It's 10,000 years before Feng Shui.
He told you had to leave?
And I said, because all the energy was coming in through the south. Vastu is a scientific method of
putting together east, west, north, and south with the five elements and designing the space that you live in, your apartment or your house, to be most conducive for meditation and peace and love. He said to me, the energy is moving out of the southern area, 7.5 acres. He said, you'll never have a happy relationship here.
Really? He knew that.
Well, kidding around, I said to him, well, I wish I'd met you earlier. Saved me a few dollars. No, but everything is karmically.
But he planted that seed. I mean, also, you wouldn't be doing Bhakti Fest unless
So what happened is I said, can I build a wall down there? He said, okay, try to build. I said, I'll build a berm, come back in a year.
To block the energy, yes. To change the energy.
So I did that, and he came back, and he laughed. Right? He said, you got to leave. Mm-hmm. So I put the house up for sale. It took me a year and a half. And one day, this guy walks in regular street clothes with his broker and starts looking around. I don't stage a place when I sell it.
Right.
All my pictures are there. My altars are
there.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
Because I'm
place.
Living there, right?
I love that place.
I'm not
place.
Changing it for anybody. This guy starts looking at the pictures. And he says, oh, look at all the pictures of Muktananda. He says, you know him? I says, Muktananda stayed here in 1974. His eyes like doubled up.
As
right?
a matter of fact, you have his bathwater. I was cleaning out your closet. You have his bathwater.
Correct. And that's what I said to him. I said, as a matter of fact, when he left me a bathtub full of water. And I put it in a bottle. And kidding around, I said to him, if you buy the place, I'll give you a bottle. He bought the place. I gave him a bottle, and he lasted a year and a half, and he had to leave.
Really? Yeah. But anyway, leaving that place brought
me down here to Joshua Tree, where right. Kaleshwar sent two of his top Vastu people to check out this place. And it's like 92%, 93% right. Vastu.
But then you got the idea of talk about that for Bhakti.
Then I was out here from 2004 to 2009. I was just working with Ramdas. You know, I brought him over to Maui in the early days, took care of him. And raised him a couple $100,000 with Wayne Dyer and got him his house and stuff. So I was busy during that period, and then I was called to start a spiritual festival.
How did that come to you? Because here you are living, and right down the road from a beautiful center, Joshua Tree Retreat Center.
Yeah, I'm 8 minutes from there.
You
but I didn't know about it.
It wouldn't have happened if you were still in Topanga.
Correct.
And so how did the idea come to you?
So I told Shamdas, who was my very dear friend, who you know,
right.
and he died a couple of years back, terrible accident in India. But he said, Sridhar, you're the only one that could put this festival together.
Wait, where did the idea of a festival come from?
I started thinking about, invite a couple of my friends, and we'll have a little small
event. That came to you, that idea, a small
right.
event, you
yeah.
thought.
2008.
Okay.
Right? And I started putting out some invitations, and I said, Shamdas, do I really want to do this? It's going to be a lot of work. And I had just recently sold I had a cosmetic company. You remember?
Yeah, Desert Essence. You were the first person to bring tea tree oil to the state.
Yeah, I discovered tea tree oil in Australia.
That's another story. I want to hear that story.
Right. That's for the next conversation.
Okay.
Anyhow, mixing spirituality and business. That's a very important topic.
I have to learn that.
Someday we all do. Someday we have to discuss that. Okay. Anyhow.
You were thought of bringing a small group of people together.
Yeah, so that's it. So I started sending out invitations, and then I met with Shamdas, and I said, I don't really want to do this. He said, no, you go ahead and do this. You're the only one that can do it. I started it, and it just grew. A little family developed. We have a beautiful staff.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's really on it. You know, it's a virtual staff. You don't have to really be in
the But when did the moment come where you're going from a little gathering to, like, a big festival?
These things, if you're doing the right thing, it's going to drive itself organically.
Right.
If you force something and you do it for the money and stuff like that, it's never going to happen. We're doing it to turn people on. It's run by our festival is one of the few that are run by a nonprofit foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So all the monies go to that, and then at the end of the year, we assemble some monies and give it to our various charities.
Great. But Bhakti Fest has now become the number one spiritual festival in the world.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a Kumbh Mela, but that doesn't, you don't have room for a million people.
Well, maybe someday.
But Bhakti Fest, no, for this country, for people coming from all over the world.
Yeah.
And they,
we have 36 countries last September at our festival.
Wow.
Yeah. And now this September, we're going to stream video all over the world.
Yeah, so you can look that up at bhaktifest.com.
Subscribe to bhaktifest.com.
Right.
And then you'll get announcements of all the tele-seminars we're doing. In fact, we're doing a great seminar starting tomorrow. It's a 10-week course, a Kabbalah and yoga. We want to do events that they're not done by anybody around the world. So this one is Kabbalah and Yoga. It's a 10-week. It's led by Avraham Lido. He's a great philosopher and professor from Jerusalem and a wonderful yoga teacher. It starts tomorrow. It goes for 10 weeks.
So how do you find out about the Telefest?
That is on our website again. It's also on Bright Star Events as well.
Okay, so look up Kabbalah and Yoga Tele Seminar on Bright Star.
And also on our website.
And the Bhakti Fest website. So this year, don't forget, be there in Joshua Tree, September 6th to the 11th.
Oh, you want to play a little bit more music?
Yeah, let's play a little bit more music. You want to go back to that?
What else you got?
I have a million things here on, you go to, it's a Bhakti Fest,
oh, yeah.
What's that? Oh, sorry. Let me go back to that one.
Yeah, that was Amrita Kripa.
I remember her too, right?
Yes, yeah, right here.
This one, Amrita Kripa plays Krishna. Okay, let's listen to that.
Yeah, from 2015.
Okay, let's listen to this. Let's
listen. Now, this group is really wild group, right? Robbie Wilde. Three guitarists in South Africa. They have fire dancers. They have little hoops. They have a lot. They're very well healed in their music.
This is like rock and kirtan.
Not really rock. It's more very contemporary.
All right, let's listen. Forward a little bit so we get some of the singing because it's in the word.
Well, not instead. I want to hear Kripa sing. Yeah, we're giving a variation here, you know. We also, you know, we pride ourselves on sacred music.
Right. I'm Richard Kripa.
This is the 2014. We have a great concert, great music.
Like a concert and a peace gathering and a love fest, all in one.
Thank you.
Play this one, the Guru Ganesh Band.
Guru Ganesh, he came to our 2013 Midwest. We went out to the Midwest. We did that 3-4 years out.
Not a few coming. How'd that go?
Fantastic. We had a great response. I think the last time, the hurricane, three tornadoes dropped down on us. Yeah, Guru Ganesh is a world famous. He's a yogi background, the Bhakti. And he's been playing music. We like to curate a lot of new singers as well.
Okay.
So we have a whole second stage called the Hanuman stage. And that's full from Thursday at 9 o'clock to 7 o'clock at night. 4 days in a row. And it's a whole nother stage and another whole environment and a whole another village. And it, but near there is our wellness sanctuary where we have 15 practitioners doing everything from acupuncture, Ayurvedic, to massage.
Nice. You know,
a lot of healthcare things are going on there. We have a full pool, by the way, big pool on our property that people can swim and take their kids during the day, lifeguard and everything.
It's actually a beautiful place.
Great environment, and we have a wonderful relationship with the people who run Joshua Tree Retreat Center. They're wonderful. We've been with them nine years now.
It's a great place. It's a peaceful place, a sanctuary of purity. And I just spent a week there. I had a great time.
Yeah, you had a great time. You know, it's early September this year, September 6th to the 12th. Next year, we're going in the middle of September. Mm. And we are just announcing our Northern California Bhakti Fest, which will
When's that?
It's going to be in June 2019. We're building a huge facility.
In Northern California?
350 acres.
Whereabouts?
Yeah, we'll make the announcement soon on our website. So if you subscribe to our website, you'll be able to hear all the latest news.
Should we hear a little Krishna Das? Because he's become quite a sensation. I mean,
he's a Grammy Award-winning nomination.
He's the top of the line.
That's
right?
He's fantastic. He's the king of kirtan. That's what they call
him. He is. And
KK.
KK. KD. Krishna Das. And this is Krishna Das live from
2014.
And he has a voice that...
2013.
It's a voice you can't forget. It puts you into an altered state.
4 years ago.
Actually, I was there the year we had to do the Krishna Das inside. You remember that? The rainstorm? Meditative state, you're with beautiful people, you're listening to this music, you just take off.
Yes, and you don't have to think about anything. Everything is perfect.
Everything's taken care of there.
Yeah, you just pay one thing, you come in, you either camp, you stay with us inside. A lot of people book the hotel rooms in town as well. All the local hotel rooms are all our friends. They're all owned by Indian people. They love to come over because they never get what we give to people. They never get it anymore.
Right, so you're just there, everything's taken care of, and just enjoy the music.
Just feel free. You don't have to join anything. It's nothing like a cult. We have a lot of new people, old people. We got an 86-year-old one today.
Well, I can't wait for the expansion in Northern California. So the peace thing again.
Peace time, joining up with Bhakti Fest in September, and we're going to be inviting, we have all these meditative teachers coming from all over the world to lead meditation and to teach you meditation in yoga. It's a beautiful setting.
So tell that story. When I was there that year, Krishna Das was going on the main stage. There was lightning strikes.
Saturday night, the lightning struck, and then the rain all of a sudden poured down, and we had to make a decision right then and there to move everything inside. And we packed all that gold. It had to be close to 1,300 people. A lot of people left because they were fearful, but the ones that stayed, we marched them right into the indoor building.
It only fits about 500.
Correct. Yeah. We packed in over 1,200, and I said, and it was hot. The AC didn't work. And we passed out as much water as we could. I said right. to them, by my, when I got up to speak, I said, if you ever wanted to be, know what it feels like to be in India, in a temple, doing one of the holidays over right. there, this is it.
But it was also a great creative move on your part. It was your decision. Like, what do we do? The main stage being rained out.
Yeah.
He said, let's bring him over to the sanctuary.
He says himself it was one of the best times of his whole career.
I was there. I was videotaping. It was great. It was the energy of that and coming together out of the rain. It was just a beautiful.
We were sitting all over each other.
It was a great time.
It was fantastic.
Did you have one more story you wanted to say?
No, I was really happy to be with you today. Please invite me back again. And, you know, I'd love to hang out with you.
Of course. You're always invited on my show, and we'll always do a promotion. Don't forget Bhakti Fest 2017. September 6th to the 11th, go to bhaktifest.com. We just played a small taste of what this whole festival is about, but it's a beautiful gathering of people. People come from Burning Man right there.
And we're very close to the airport, the Palm Springs International Airport. We're only 25 minutes from
there. Joshua Tree is a beautiful place.
One of the finest places in all of America.
Actually, Joshua Tree Retreat Center was built as a spiritual retreat by Dingelmay.
Yeah.
Dingelmay in the 30s. It was called the Mental Physics Institute.
Designed by Frank Lloyd Wright's son.
Right. It's a beautiful place. It's well designed and it's beautiful land. So come this year, see Krishnadas, Shiva Ray, maybe Deepak Chopra.
I think so.
And you want to come out with some music? Go out with like a little bit of Krishnadas?
Thank you so much.
I've been talking to my good friend, Sridhar Silverfine, founder, director, host, producer of Bhakti Fest. And come out this year. It's going to be a great 4-day celebration with the best stars in the Kirtan business.
If you can't come out, check for the streaming video that's going to come directly
to you. We'll end with a little bit of Krishnadas. And we can get into the bob of the Bhakti Fest. This is just a small taste of some of the music that you'll be getting at Bhakti Fest this year in Joshua Tree. This year and every year in Joshua Tree, California, definitely go to bhaktifest.com. I'm Alan Steinfeld. Sometimes I make an appearance at these Bhakti Fests, and they're beautiful if I'm on the West Coast. You can always find me at New Realities, newrealities.com. Check my YouTube, youtube.com/newrealities. It's great to hear, to know that people are listening to this kind of music. Thank you for listening tonight to New Realities, and we'll see you next time. Thank you guys at BBS.